Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
We are today going to study the 25th installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs, which would ostensibly correspond to mitzvah number 5 once again. And this is the final time for the year we're going to be learning about mitzvah number 5. In our study of this mitzvah yesterday, we mentioned the notion that the avdehu, the service of God, la'avdai, as the Torah speaks about it, seems to refer to the Beit HaMikdash as well as to the study of Torah. As the Sifri brings down in the from the Mishnah, or perhaps it's originally in Mishnasi of Rebbe Lezer, the son of Rebbe Yesi Aglili, who says, Minayin le'ikar tefillah b'teicha mitzvahs. How do we know that prayer is a particular mitzvah amongst the other mitzvot? And the Rambam uses this as a very important key point to demonstrate that it actually is a mitzvah. It says, as Hashem Elokecha tira, you should revere the Lord your God, v'oto tavod, and he you should serve. The Rambam then adds, and it was said, avdeyu b'teirasei, avdeyu b'mikdashei, serve him through toil and Torah, serve him through the Beis HaMikdash. Yesterday we described in great detail how this statement, which seems actually not to talk about prayer, seems to talk about the Beis HaMikdash, is a critical component within prayer. Because prayer and the focus and kavana of prayer has a lot to do with Yerushalayim and specifically the Beit HaMikdash. So today I want to demonstrate how this idea of Avdeyo B'Mikdashay transcends the Mount Moriah proper, or the physical geographical location of the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And in a larger sense, it refers to the conceptual Beis HaMikdash, which will shed light on some basic Jewish tradition. And also a different take, a different depth in the words of Avdehu B'Torato, serve him through your Torah, which actually also can be understood as a reference to tefillah, to prayer. So it's not a secret that a Beit HaKnesset, a shul, is a primary and fundamental part of Jewish life. And Batei Knesiot were not only built after the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. In fact, we have some verses in the Torah that describe the Jewish people taking stones from Yerushalayim and bringing them with them into Bavel, and using those stones to build the foundations of houses of worship that they built in Bavel. Now we're talking about more than 7 decades before the second Beit HaMikdash was built, maybe even 8 decades before Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who began to introduce prayer, and ostensibly it's reasonable to say they didn't introduce prayer the first 5 minutes when they got together. It was a process. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah did many things, amongst them prayer. So we may be talking easily a century before the beginnings of prayer as we know it, the Siddur formulated in the Nusach, in the liturgy as we know it. We have a description of the Torah in the Tanakh of Jewish people taking stones from Yerushalayim, bringing those stones to Bavel to build the Beit HaKnesset. And it's a much bigger subject than the study of today's mitzvahs, but there are halakhic authorities who maintain that the mitzvah of building a Beit HaMikdash in today's day and age is fulfilled, to the best of our abilities, when we build a shul. So there is a link between Beit HaMikdash, or as the Rambam calls it, Beit HaBechira, the chosen house, and there can only be one chosen house. The Rebbe says that's why it's called Beit HaBechira in the Rambam's lexicon, rather than Beit HaMikdash, because there can be many holy houses. This is also a Beit HaMikdash. It's just a Beit HaMikdash Ma'at. It's a minor Beit HaMikdash, not a major Beit HaMikdash. And there can only be one Beit HaBechira. HaBechira means the chosen one. So the chosen one, the primary paradigm of God's presence on earth, the manifestation of the Shekhinah, is in the Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaBechira. But every time Jewish people come together and they designate a place in which prayer should take place, and the study of Torah should take place, that becomes the concept of Mikdash Ma'at. And that is a critical component in the mitzvah of prayer. For two perspectives, and listen carefully to this. Up until this point, we learned that the fifth mitzvah of the Torah is the mitzvah to daven. How should a person daven? You should daven. Open a siddur or pray by heart. You daven. You pray to Hashem. But everybody knows that we don't pray on our own. We typically pray with a gathering of other Jews. It's called praying with a minyan. Praying with a congregation, which is a minimum of 10 people or halachic Jews. And we have this idea that ideally prayers should be held in a Beit HaMikdash. So the Rambam tells us in the 8th chapter of Hilchas Tefillah that there's a difference between praying together with many others and praying on your own, although ostensibly the mitzvah of prayer, as the Rambam puts it, the mitzvah, the biblical mitzvah, to be mitpalel, to connect to God and to reach out to God and to ask God for our needs, is a personal mitzvah. It's a personal mitzvah. I have a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah. We all have the same mitzvah. It doesn't matter with whom I'm doing the mitzvah. I don't have to shake my lulav with 50 people. I don't have to listen to the shofar together with 100 people. If I hear the shofar on my own or I hear the shofar in the public, it's hearing the shofar. It's hearing the shofar. Eating matzah does not have to be performed in the public. So what is this business of tefillah b'tzibur? Why do we have this important concept of praying with a minyan? So the Rambam explains, based on the Gemara in Masechet Tanit on Daf Ches on page 8, that tefillah tatzibur, the prayers of the congregation of the community, nishmat tamid, are always heard. Va'afilu haya bahem chotim. It doesn't matter who your minyan is. As they say, a minyan of pickpockets is still a minyan. 10 pickpockets makes a minyan, but 9 Moshe Rabbeinus does not. So it doesn't matter who they are. And there's a statement which is made. It's brought down, this idea in this context is quoted in the Gemara in Masechet Brachot and Daf Ches, but it's a verse that's drawn on a statement made in the book of Job and the book of Iyov that says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'es bitvilatam shel rabim. God does not disdain the prayers of the public. When the public make a request, it doesn't matter who the public is. It's a public request. When the public is asking, it doesn't matter what the public is comprised of. So when you bring a petition, whether it's to somebody in a high office in government or somebody who runs a corporation, and I have 20,000 signatures or 50,000 signatures, I say, well, who signed that? Who was it? Was it doctors and lawyers? Was it accountants and playwrights? Was it rabbis? Who signed it? Or just like homeless people? The notion of a petition is numbers. The numbers game. The concept of community is it transcends individuality. It transcends the particular identity of who makes up that minyan. And when 10 people are together, there are not 10 individuals, for the sum is greater than the parts. They are a minyan that's davening. And when the public makes entreaty, when the public makes a request, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. And the Rambam says, this is the reason, tzarech odom l'shatef atzma im atzibur. A person is morally obligated, not only when he's saying Kaddish, he's morally obligated, if he wants to be a Jew who lives up to his obligation, to do what a Yid is supposed to do, to always unite and partner with the community, v'lo yitpalel yachid. You shouldn't daven yachidi alone. It's a person will say, oh, I can't make it to the minyan. I guess I don't daven today. Not so fast. The Rambam says a person shouldn't daven yechidi, provided that he's able to make it to the minyan. Doesn't say anything about Kaddish here. Doesn't say anything about Yartzeit. It says about a Jew davening, that a Jew should daven in a Beit HaKnesset. And he should come all the time as much as possible. Why? Because the purpose of the mitzvah is not just that I should daven. We want efficacious prayer. We want prayer which is meaningful. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our prayers. And if you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept your prayers, and that's why you pray with focus, and you pray with devotion, and you pray with love, and you pray with compassion, and you pray with all these important components, so your prayers should be meaningful. So that's why the Rambam says, Tzarech L'shatef Atzmei. You have to then be together with a crowd. I can't remember who said this, but a famous person once said, if you ever get in trouble, the first thing you should do is get into a crowd. Get into the crowd. It's a whole different world. And therefore, we should always be part of a crowd. Ula olam, the Rambam says, the best behavior, generally speaking, is yashkim adam v'yariv. He should wake up early every morning, and he should come in the evenings l'beit ha-knesset, to the beit ha-knesset. She'ein tfilato nishmat b'chol eit, because his prayers are not heard at any time, ela only b'beit ha-knesset. The Rambam is saying something else now. He's saying, he doesn't say tzibur, he says beit ha-knesset. There's two components here. Number one, the best kind of environment to daven in when you're not an individual, but rather when you're together with the public. And even if there isn't a minyan, and even if there isn't a public, you're alone, the best place then to daven is in the Beit HaKnesset. Even if there isn't a minyan. The Rambam says, Chol mi sheyesh lo Beit HaKnesset bi'iro. A person who has a shul in his city, forget his neighborhood or his block, in his city, ve'eino mitpalel bo, and he doesn't daven in the shul, imat zibur, together with the community. So it's not good enough to say, well, I have a shul in the neighborhood, and I go there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I say a chapter of Tillim. Is that good enough? So the Rambam says two things. He has a beit haKnesset in his neighborhood, and he doesn't mitpalel imat zibur. If he has a minyan at somebody's office, with a daven mincha at somebody's office, and that's why he's not coming back to the shul, that's okay. Either with a tzibur, a minyan, or if you can't find the minyan, lefachot, at very least, a person should daven in the structure of the Beit HaKnesset. And if he doesn't do so, the Rambam says, nikra shochen ra, there's this proverbial bad neighbor. You know, like State Farm is a good neighbor? There's a proverbial bad neighbor in the Mishnah. What makes a neighbor bad? If he doesn't take care of the snow? If he blows the leaves onto your side? What makes a bad neighbor if he has parties at 2 o'clock in the morning? It could be all those things are your idea of a bad neighbor. But the Torah's idea of a bad neighbor is a fellow who doesn't come to Beit HaKnesset. A fellow who doesn't daven together with the community. That, the Gemara says, the Rambam says, quoting this, La'alocha, is what we call a bad neighbor. So it seems to me, when you put all of this together, that you something begins to emerge here. And I'm not certain of this, but I think this may be the pshat. This may be helps understand the words of the Rambam in the Book of Mitzvahs, where he specifically makes a point of quoting this idea of et Hashem Elo kechatira, and he talks about avdeu b'torato and avdeu b'migdasho. Avdeu b'migdasho means, as we said yesterday, facing Yerushalayim. Avdeu b'migdasho also could easily mean that you should pray in the Beit HaKnesset, and you should pray with the tzibur, which creates an environment of Migdash Ma'at, of a minor Beit HaMigdash. This is the concept of prayer, which is not just an individual fulfilling a mitzvah, but rather there is a larger framework in which this mitzvah is supposed to be properly observed. Now the other detail was the toil in Torah. And so it is very interesting to note that the final halachot of the Rambam, of course the 25th section or segment of Sefer HaMitzvahs, corresponds to the last three halachot of Hilchas Tefillah, chapter 11, 12, and 13. And in the end of the 13th chapter of Hilchat Tefillah, the Rambam talks about something that's done bitoch hatfilah, in the middle of the prayers, on Mondays, on Thursdays, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, on a Yom Tov, and every Shabbat. Namely, Kriyat HaTorah, the reading of the Torah, which is a part of the service. That's part of davening shacharit, and on fast days, it's part of the afternoon service also, is kriyat haTorah, reading the Torah. We're not allowed to take Torah scrolls out. You don't read whenever you want. There's a protocol, and it follows along with the mitzvah of tefillah. And the last entire perek, last chapter, the Rambam speaks about the various halachot, the various laws that are relevant to kriyat haTorah, which must be performed only with a minyan. And the Rambam finishes off that this is a very personal thing, just like the personal mitzvah of prayer. It's not just a communal mitzvah, as prayer is not just a communal mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah for the community to daven. It's not good enough if I live in a neighborhood where there is somebody davening, or my neighbor davens for me. I need to daven. I need to be mitpalel. I need to fulfill this mitzvah personally. The best way, together with the tzibur. The same is true when it comes to listening to the Torah being read. It's something that's done in the community, something that's done in the Beit HaKnesset, but everybody is supposed to be listening, A. And B, the final halacha, which is the siyum of Hilchas Tefillah, the Rambam writes, Af al pi sha'adam shomea kol ha-Torah kula. even though a person hears the entire Torah. B'chol Shabbat, not he speaks and the gossips while Torah reading, he didn't hear a word. He actually listens to the whole Torah reading. B'tzibur, publicly, he's listening to the Torah being read. He has to be in a Beit HaKnesset. He's a perfect Jew. He did everything right. The Rambam says, in addition to that, Chayev likrot la'atzmo. He has to read for himself, b'chol shavua v'shavua, each week, seder, the order, which by the way is the true name for the orders of the Torah. There are 53 orders and 52 orders, gan sidrot ha-Torah. In its technical form, the word parsha does not refer to the weekly sedra. The word parsha refers to the chapters in Torah, the chapters which are not numbered in Torah, which are called petucha or stuma. It's, you know, you have these breaks in the Torah. It's not all endless writing. There's breaks, bigger breaks, smaller breaks. Those are called, each is called a parsha unto itself. The what we call colloquially parsha is actually referred to as the sedra. That's what the real name for it is. So you have to review the seder, the order of each Torah order, colloquially each parsha of that week. And it is written in the Gemara in Daf Ches, Kol Hamashlim Parshiotav Im Hatzibur. Anybody who reads the parsha on his own, studies the Torah portion each week together with the community. Not I study my own Torah. No. The Torah that everybody's studying, the Torah that is relevant for this week, and you study the Torah during the days of that week. So it says, Ma'arichin lo yamav ushnotav. His days and his years are lengthened. And days and years lengthened don't only mean quantitatively you live more years. It could also mean that. But it means that the days themselves are lengthened. Because if somebody lives for 80 years and somebody else lives 82 years, so the 80 years are the same. The only length is in the last 2 years. However, if we say ma'arichin lo yamav, his days, plural, are lengthened, his years are lengthened, means he had a longer year, he had a longer day. You know how it is. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, and by the time it's 10 o'clock in the morning, you're exhausted because everything has gone wrong. And you don't have time, you're catching your tail, you don't have time to get a coffee. And other days, everything just gets done quickly. And you have lots of leftover time to learn Torah. That's a blessing. It's a blessing when everything goes right. It's a blessing when your time can be spent for good things, for the kind of things you want to spend them on. So you get a lot done. You pack a lot of living into a day and into a year. That's the blessing. When a Jew reads the Parsha, studies the Torah each week, this is the blessing that the Torah, that the sage is given. When does the time begin, by the way? The Mechilta says, the Gemara says, the Mechilta says also, it starts from Sunday. Sunday. Sunday is when you start to learn the Parsha of the next week. In the Mechilta, on the Pasuk, V'hoyu k'yemra aleichem b'neichem, Pasuk that says your children will say to you about fathers teaching children Torah, it says that there were three things Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda, instructed his children before he passed on. And one of them is that they should not make Kiddush on Shabbat morning before they finished studying the Parsha of that week. How should this be done ideally? The Rambam says that should be done Shnayim Mikra, repeating each Pasuk twice, Ve'echad Targum, and reading the Targum. Here he refers to Targum Unkelus, who is known as Achilles. Achilles was a convert, a nephew of the Roman Caesar, who became one of the greatest tzaddikim and Torah scholars of our time. He wrote the indispensable companion of the Torah, which is printed in virtually every version of the Chumash, known as Targum Unkelus. It's not the only Targum, there were other Targum written, but his is considered most authoritative. And generally when Rashi invokes, he says, Kit Targumo, he always refers to Targum Unkelus. So a Jew is supposed to read the Targum, which means read every Pasuk twice and once the Targum. Upasuk she'ein bo Targum, and the Pasuk there is no Targum, Kareihu shalosh pa'amim, he should read it three times, ad sheyashlim parshiotav imatzibur, until in this manner a person finishes studying the parshiot together with the rest of the community. Now, I should point out that in the Tur, in Simen Reish Pehe, in chapter 285 of Eir HaChaim, he writes that if a person learns the weekly parsha, studies the weekly parsha with the commentary of Rashi, it's just as if he studied it with the Targum. Because the Targum, for most people today, is rendered moot. Very few people understand the Targum properly. But the Rashi is much more understandable for the average person. And therefore, a person should read the Parsha. If he studies the Parsha with Rashi, that itself would be sufficient. although it's meaningful to point out that according to the opinion of Rav Amram Goyen, which is brought in the Hagos Maimonides here at the end of Hilchos Tefillah, he says that there's something special about the Targum because the Targum was given orally to Moshe Rabbeinu at Mount Sinai. That's what Rav Amram Goyen says. And therefore, a proper Yerushalayim should do both. He should read the Psukim twice and read Onkelos, and he should be reading Pirush Rashi as well and studying the Parsha. And the bottom line is, my friends, that it's very important that we should study the weekly Torah portion, and studying the weekly Torah portion along with hearing the Torah reading in Shul together comprise and complete the fulfillment of the fifth mitzvah of the Torah, and perhaps this gives us a new appreciation and understanding of why the Rambam mentions these words in the book of mitzvahs. When he talks about the mitzvah of prayer, he says it means you have to serve Hashem, but he says there's this idea of Avdeo B'Terasei. Avdeo B'Terasei is a part of tefillah, as we see. Avdeo M'Migdashei, the serving Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash, both focusing and directing your attention towards the actual geographic location of the Beis HaMikdash, as well as davening with the minyan. And in the Mikdash Ma'at is the ultimate fulfillment of the fifth mitzvah of our Holy Torah. That concludes the study of Mitzvah Hei.